Today we bring you a special broadcast for those watching from home, especially our elderly friends and those unable to attend church in person. Please know you are a valued part of our CWH family. Now let's prepare our hearts as we worship together and hear my dad's message, A Sermon to Shut-Ins.
I'm Pastor Salem. Want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that you let us come into your apartment or your truck or wherever you might be. And we're going to worship the Lord together. And we're going to have a sermon today about people that are having hard times in life. And if you have a friend that may be having a little hard times and down a little bit or discouraged, just give them a ring and have them tune in. But I want to just use some of the letters we get because I know you enjoy hearing them. And they're just so good that you just have to listen to some of them. And so our first one is from Huron, South Dakota, here in South Dakota. I watch your show with my grandparents. I'm 11 years old. We watched your movie, Heart of a Shepherd, and it was really good. I learned you got to trust God at all times. When I was 6 years old, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And so I preach so that the children can understand. And we hear from children all the time. And here's this little boy. He accepted the Lord when he was six. Well, I'm telling you, I have a daughter, Patty. She accepted the Lord when she was five. She's a grandma now, and she served the Lord all of her life. So these people that accept the Lord at an early age, they're just as genuine as the adults. If you can love your parents, you can love the Lord. Then here's Jamestown, North Dakota. I can't go to church anymore. My ears are so bad. I have hearing aids, but they don't help me much. I can hear the pastor, but I can't understand what he's saying. I watch your church service every Sunday, and I turn my TV up, and I can hear everything you say. I hope you're here for many more years. Well, so that's what we hear from a lot of people. They can't hear in the church because of the size of the building or something, but they can turn up their TV, and they can get the lesson that way, hear the message that way. And we got a letter from a lady. She lived in an apartment house, had a lot of different apartments around her, and she said that what she did was she opened her door to her apartment, and then when the service came on, she turned it on as loud as it could go, and then everybody in the apartment could listen. I don't know if she still lives in that apartment or not, but she's got the right idea. Get the word out. They can't believe if they don't hear. And so here she is, faithfully serving the Lord. Here's Seattle, Washington. And we hear from a lot of prisoners, and here's a man who's been in prison, and now he's out, and he's writing to us. I just got out of prison after serving a 5-year sentence. While there, I received a new song. I wrote to you to skip sending it to me in prison and tell you wait for me for my new address so I can continue getting your monthly message. I am now able to send my support for your ministry. Thank you so much for doing the Lord's work as you do. Don't stop. You have my support financially and prayerfully. God bless you guys. Love in Christ. So we hear from a lot of prisoners. And here's this one. He's been listening to us, and it's the new song. And and that's a little Bible study. And this month, it's about how that we can have the eyes of the Lord upon us. And it's something I know that you'll like. So you get your pencil and paper, and then at the close of the service, I'll tell you how you can get it. And here's one more, St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm grateful for the opportunity to help bring people into the kingdom through Jesus. There's no better investment on earth than the souls of mankind. And so he's looking at it this way as an investment. And so he invests in the Christian Worship Hour, and we proclaim the word of God, and it goes all over the world. As a matter of fact, on shortwave radio, we cover 95% of the world's population, and that includes the persecuted church. And so we're so happy we can minister to them and encourage them. And so you just have your pencil and paper, and I'll tell you how you can help us, and you can be a part of this ministry. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break and steal. For where your heart is, there will your heart, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so Jesus recognized how that we can do good with money. And money is nothing. Sometimes they say money is evil. But the Bible says the rich, the longing for money, the desire to have money is the wrong thing. But money itself is not. And you can use it for the things of God. And you could use it to help in the Christian worship hour if the Lord so leads. So I'll go into that farther, but let's look at this sermon today, a sermon for shut-ins. And let me define what I mean by shut-in. Of course, it includes those in the hospital and retirement homes and that are housebound and bedridden and disabled and the like. It includes them, but it includes more. By this word, we mean this sermon also includes the lonely, some people that are by themselves, and they're lonely, nobody visits them. Or maybe they're with a lot of people, but they don't have any friends. And I remember when I went to Bible school in Minneapolis, 1940, and I ran right off of the farm to that center of that city, and I was surrounded with people, thousands of people, every way you looked, and I was so lonely and homesick that I wanted to die. And so maybe you're that way, a lot of people around, but no one that you're really close to, no one you talk to and visit with. And we can include you. We can include people in prison. And we hear from so many people in prison, and we're glad to do that. And we can just tell you that if you want to have the film sent, we're glad to send it, but you need to tell your chaplain. We can't send it directly to you as an inmate there, but you have the chaplain, and we'll be glad to send it. Or if you want the Bible study, we'll send that, and we send that. In one federal prison, we write to 14 different people with this new song. It's a little Bible study every month, and it's free and postpaid. If you can make an offering, that's fine, but many of those in prison can't. So we'll just make it up some other way and carry on. Maybe you're weary of the burdens of life, and maybe you're perfectly healthy, but you have a lot of burdens and a lot of problems facing you. Maybe you're discouraged and downhearted. Maybe a loved one has been taken away. Maybe you're having a divorce or threatening a divorce. Or maybe you have children that have gone astray. And children can have sorrows and troubles, and they need the Lord's help too. I remember when I was in the first grade, 1928, if you can imagine it, and there was a boy in that school. It was a country school. We had most all of the grades there, and I was in the first grade just getting started, and he was all sixth or seventh, eighth grade, and he had a scissors, and he said he was going to cut my ears off. And so if the teacher wasn't looking or the teacher was out for something, he just threatened me all the time. I had nightmares about it. So children can have their troubles. And so this message is for all of you, that there is an answer for you. God will give you help. And he gives it, for instance, from the Bible. That's the only place we can get the Word of God, is from the Bible. And what better passage than the 23rd Psalm, where the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in the green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me, the rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so here's this wonderful psalm, and we're just going to look at it. Because in this psalm, we have the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we talk about sheep, I know a lot about sheep. That's all my dad had, was sheep. And I used to take care of those sheep and help them summer, winter, springtime, and fall, lambing and whatever the time might be, and so, or shearing or whatever it is. And so I was raised with sheep. I'm a sheep herder. and I'm proud of being a sheep herder. And I want you to say something else. I've got some cowboy friends that will watch this service, and I want you all to get this message that sheep herders are smarter than cowboys. And I can prove it. And I can prove it because you never see a sheep herder getting on a wild bull trying to ride a wild bull. I never see that. So sheep herders are smarter. But be that as it may, we're looking at the Good Shepherd, and Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And in this psalm, it goes like this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, as a shepherd, that means that there was a close relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And he would count them at night. He called rodding the sheep. And he would mark, he would check with his rod one at a time and see that all were there. If one was missing, he would close up that opening and he would go out and look until he found that one lost sheep and bring it back. And so this shepherd had the heart of a shepherd and he loved the sheep. And it says, for instance, Jesus tells us in John 10, 27 to 29, he says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And so this is our shepherd, and he loves you and he cares for you, and he wants to help you and he wants to bring you into the fold. He wants you to be a sheep of his flock and follow him and walk with him. He says in the second verse that he maketh me lie down in green pastures. And so that means that sheep is content. It means they've had enough to eat. Now, I was raised in the 30s, 1930s, and we were sparse. We were so short of grazing land that I know sometimes those sheep would graze in the evening and almost till dark to find just a little more. But when that sheep is fed, well fed, it lies down in the pasture or in the corral or in the place wherever it's kept, and it is content. And when we have Jesus, we're content. But if we don't have Jesus, we're not really content. And we're made for God. There's a part of us made for God, and it's empty because it's to be filled with Jesus. And you have to fill that emptiness by asking Jesus to come into your heart. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come in," and he'll come into your life, into your heart. And so that's what you need to do, is know the Lord. And then it says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And what you don't know about, maybe don't realize about sheep, the sheep can't swim. All the other critters can. The cattle can swim, and the sheep and the dogs and the horses and the cats, but sheep can't swim. And you know why they can't swim? Because they're all full of this wool, and they get into a rushing water, and it'll sweep them downstream. They're just helpless and hopeless, sweep them downstream to their destruction. So when he says he likes the still waters, that sheep won't drink from running waters, strong running waters. They're afraid of it, but they'll get it in maybe in a big bowl or a tub or something like that, or where the water's still and they can drink. So that's a beautiful picture of the sheep and can care of the sheep. And then it goes on and it tells us in the third verse, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He restoreth my soul. Our soul is lost. Our soul is lost in sin. It's drifted away from God, and it's in terrible danger, because if we die with that sin, we're going to go into a Christless eternity. And so he says, "He restoreth my soul." Isaiah talks about that in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. He says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, or the sin of us all." And so these sheep restores their soul because their soul is lost. You take a sheep, and if a sheep gets lost, he'll never find its way home. And that's why a shepherd, He'll count the sheep. If there's one short, he'll go and look for it. But sheep will not find their home. Everything else will. A horse will find its way home, get back to the barn. A chicken will come home to roost. And bees come home to the beehive. And dogs come home to their dogs come home. They'll find their way home. And you see these wonderful Canadian geese traveling 3,000 miles as they spend the winter in the south and the winter in the north. And they find their way every time, all the way, all that distance. But you take a sheep, and a sheep is lost, you're just not going to find it. So everything is will come home except a sheep. And I'm talking about the cats. It reminds me of a story of a farmer. And he had this cat, and he didn't want to do anything violent to it, but he wanted to get rid of it the worst way, give it away or lose it or something. And he saw a friend of his, a neighbor friend of his, and told him what he had in mind. And the neighbor friend says, "Oh, that's easy. You just take that cat and you take it downtown in Boston." And the streets in downtown Boston are all winding and twirling around because they were some of them followed after cow pastures. And so they said, "Oh, just a commotion. It's awful to downtown Boston." He says, "You take your cat and turn him loose downtown Boston, you never see him again." So that's what he did. Sometime later, he met his friend, and his friend says, "Well, did you get rid of your cat? Did you take it downtown Boston?" He says, "Yeah, I took it downtown Boston." He says, "Well, did you lose a cat?" And the guy says, "Lose the cat? If it would have been for the cat, I never would have found my way home. Everything finds their way home. Sheep don't. Sheep don't. And they're dumb. And I know some of you are going to write and you had a smart sheep. Well, maybe you had a bum lamb. You fed it on a bottle or something like that. But it's still dumb. And I can prove they're dumb. And I'll tell you how I can prove it. I've been going to the circus for about 90 years. And I've seen all kind of animal tricks. They're trained. Elephants are trained. Tigers are trained. Lions are trained. Dogs are trained. Cats are trained. Everything's trained. But you ever see a trained sheep? You've never seen a trained sheep do anything. They are dumb. And so God says, we are like that. We're like those sheep. We stray off and we'll never come home. And so Jesus, a good shepherd, comes and he's born of a virgin. And he comes to him, and as a man, he's in the flesh, except he doesn't have sin like we have sin. And he's unique. He's God and he's man. And so as a man, he goes to the cross and he sheds his blood to pay for our sins. And you know something? In Hebrews, we're told something beautiful about that. We're told that when Jesus went to the cross, he says, and how that the Lord Jesus Christ, who when he went to the cross, despising the shame, who for the joy that was set before him, went to the cross. Jesus rejoiced that he could go to the cross and die for your sins and my sins. That's the wonderful Savior. And he died us so that these people that have drifted away, all we like sheep have gone astray. And Jesus took all of our sins for us and he paid the price and he wants you to come back. And so he stands at your heart's door and he knocks to come into your heart. Not your head, your heart. And if you do that, you'll have everlasting life and you have a good shepherd to guide you. And then it goes on, it talks about death. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And he says, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And there's two things here. He says, he comes... And he fears no evil. He's not afraid to die. And he's not afraid to die because thou art with me. Jesus is with him. And when we come to die, and we all will, if we do, unless the Lord returns, he's going to take us. And we better be sure that we have our heart right with God. Because if we have our right with God, and he's our shepherd, he says our shepherd, and he takes us home, takes us to heaven. And you know how long it takes to get to heaven? Zip. And that's it. One breath. One breath. You say, well, what about the shadow of death? What about the valley of the shadow of death? How long did you go through that? You go through that in one split second, because there is no valley of death. There's just a shadow, and you just pass through a shadow. And so that the last breath you take on earth and the next breath is in heaven, just that fast. And St. Paul talked about it, absent from the body, at home with the Lord. And what did Jesus tell a thief on the cross? He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so just trusting Jesus, that very day, that same day, he was going to be in heaven with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need to have the shepherd. And you can have him, as I've told you over and over. You ask him to come into your heart, take away your sin. Then you promise to forsake your sin the best you can. And then you thank him. Now, you'll never be perfect. When Jesus becomes our example, and we get away from the things that are bad and the things that are wrong, but we will never be perfect. And so every time we sin, we go to Jesus and we ask him to forgive us, which as though we have our sins, and we just say, dear, if we confess our sins, we just ask him that, and he'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you say, well, how many times can you do that? Oh, maybe 20,000 times or more. Because if he knows your heart and you're struggling with something, maybe young people with drugs, maybe some people with liquor or something like that, maybe some of you are having trouble with your tongue, you're a gossip, and you're hurting people with your old dirty tongue. And so what you have to do is ask him to forgive you. And when you slip, you go back and ask him again. And so you need Jesus to be your shepherd, your wonderful shepherd. Makes all the difference in the world. And I read the story of a king, and this king put on a big celebration for all the people in his kingdom. And during that celebration, he noticed he had an orator, and he had all kinds of medals for well-speaking. And he asked him to get up and give a piece, and the man got up, the orator got up, and he gave the 23rd Psalm. And everybody clapped. And then a little later, the king noticed that he had an old pastor there, asked the pastor to come, and he came to address the people, and he used the 23rd Psalm. Only when he was done, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. Everybody had spoken to. And afterwards, the king said to the orator, why is it that you, with all of your talent and ability, why is it that that old pastor could move those people far more than you could ever move them? And you know what the orator said? It happened that way because I know the psalm, but the old pastor knows the shepherd. You can have it in your head, but you got to have it in your heart. And you say, yes, I do want Jesus in my heart. I want to be a sheep of his pasture. And then what you do is you say, dear Jesus, but in your own words, in your own way, just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Maybe you want to mention some of them. I don't know. Billy Graham says, maybe you want to mention some of your songs, sins, whatever you want. And you just tell him you're a sinner, confess your sins, and then ask him to come into your heart and take away your sin. And he said, if you ask me into your heart, I will come in. I'll come in, no question about it. And then you say, dear Lord, I'll turn from my sins. I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll live just for you. Thank you, Jesus. And if you do that, you're a child of God. You're born again. And I pray that you will do that, because if you don't, there's no hope. There's no hope. You have no help. If Jesus says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He tells us in John 5:24, he says, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it. He that heareth my word and believeth on him, now you can believe. You can believe. And he that heareth my word and believeth on him shall not perish, but he says, hath everlasting life. You hear the word, you believe the word, you have everlasting life. And then Jesus says, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell. You're passed from death unto life. That's heaven. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us anywhere in the world, and we'll send you literature, some literature to help you in the Christian life get started. You can get a lot of information about us from ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then you can write to us. And when you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, The box is 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if we have to have you to help us. If you think this is something worthwhile, if you think God is in this, then you need to write to us. And you can send us a gift on ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want the new song, put the new song. If you want one of the DVDs, then send a gift. And if you don't have any money, write. We'll send it free and postpaid anyway. And we want to include you. We want you to come to know Jesus. And said, if you do that, then we'll be able to write to you and talk with you. If you send a gift, we want you to know we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And all of our monies are audited and every penny is accounted for. So send your gifts and help us. So now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this wonderful time we've had together. Thank you for your people. And dear Lord, we just want to pray that you'll help those on beds of sickness and those who are weary and those who are lonely and those who are discouraged. And dear Jesus, just help them to open their heart to you and find that joy and that peace. Pray for the young people. Pray for the children. Pray for all, O Lord, that have needs of you. And we'll give you the thanks and praise. And then, dear Lord, we want to pray for the persecuted church in Sri Lanka. Help them to know that we love them and are praying for them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so now once more, let me give that address, especially to the shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we're dependent alone on God's people. We're not underwritten by any organization, just the people of God. So you just pray about it, and whatever God lays on your heart, it'll be what we need. It'll take care of it. And let me close by telling you this. God loves you. Even if you have terrible sins, he loves you, and he wants you to come to him. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. We have a team of people. We have a group of people, about 40 people on a prayer team. We have a staff that we're here. We have our people putting on this program. We're doing it almost. All of them are doing without cost because we love you. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I want you to tell your friends that I sure love you. And I want to see you in heaven. I want to shake your hand. I want to just see what you look like. You know what I look like, and that ain't much. So I want to see you. So we're going to count on that. God bless you now. And next week we'll see you. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.